Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've got quite a stack of research here on, well, a really fundamental shift in software development today. Component-based architecture, or CBA.
It's definitely a hot topic.
Yeah. So our mission today is to cut through some of that complexity. We want to distill this blueprint for, you know, highly scalable, maintainable software in something clear and hopefully impactful for you.
And that blueprint, it's more critical now than ever, really. I mean, the architecture of any system fundamentally dictates its future, its performance, how well it scales, how easy it is or isn't to maintain down the line.
Right.
CBA really came about because the industry needed a better way to build these modular, loosely coupled systems.
Yeah.
Systems that could actually survive constant tick changes and, you know, rapid updates.
It's funny, you think of it as very modern, but the idea itself, as our sources pointed out, actually goes way back to the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And the thinking then was inspired by, believe it or not, physical manufacturing, like assembling a car from pre-built standard parts, a braking system here, an engine block there.
That's exactly right. The software world tried to copy that model. We saw those early frameworks, things like Java Beans, KeyMDCOM, Corba.
Right. I remember those names.
Yeah. They weren't quite components as we think of them now, but they were crucial first steps, specialized tools, really, that helped define platform-agnostic interfaces. They started standardizing how different bits of software could actually talk to each other across different platforms.
But back then, actually building big enterprise systems that way, it was still incredibly complex, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
So what changed? What really kicked off this modern resurgence we're seeing?
Well, it feels like two things really hit their stride almost at the same time. First, containerization, you know, Docker, Kubernetes primarily. They provide these standardized portable environments. Suddenly deploying and scaling independent components became much, much simpler.
Okay, that makes sense. And the second thing?
The second was the rise of cloud-native services and APIs. That just blew open the possibilities for building systems from services that might not even live in the same physical place, let alone the same code base.
And when we talk about CBA today, it's not just one single approach. It's more like a family of architectural styles that all kind of embrace this component idea, right?
Exactly. The sources list things like microservices, which are, you know, highly decentralized components. There's the older, maybe foundational service-oriented architecture, SOA.
Which organizes services around business capabilities, yeah.
Precisely. And then you've got plug-in architectures. And even the classic model view controller MVC pattern can be seen through a CBA lens.
Okay, let's unpack the core idea then, this component. What are we actually talking about at its most basic level?
Okay, so a component is essentially a small, manageable, self-contained unit of functionality. The key thing is it has all the code, data, logic needed for its specific job, but it only talks to the outside world, to other parts of the system, through these very clear, well-defined interfaces.
Like a black box?
Kind of, yeah. A black box that does one specific task and hopefully does it flawlessly.
And this modularity, this separation, is really why CBA shines in today's world, where everything's changing constantly.
Exactly. It supports rapid iteration. You can bring in new tech or pivot your product direction without needing to rewrite or sometimes even touch large parts of the rest of the system. CBA is sort of built for change.
You can really see that value in something like a big e-commerce platform.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they want to add a totally new payment processor or maybe overhaul their recommendation engine. How does CBA make that smoother?
Well, they treat those features as independent components, so they can literally pull out the old payment component and plug in the new one. And crucially, they can do that without causing massive downtime or disruption to other core functions like, you know, inventory or user login. It isolates the risk.
That isolation must be powerful for things like compliance, too, maybe in healthcare.
Oh, definitely. You could have one component managing sensitive patient data locked down with strict security protocols. Meanwhile, another component handling, say, appointment scheduling, can be updated way more frequently without ever touching the security boundary around those medical records.
It really is that Lego block analogy we hear about.
It absolutely is. You're building systems that are flexible, resilient, and it lets developers really focus their energy on one contained problem at a time. So if CBA is the blueprint, what are the big returns? The sources kept highlighting like a handful of core advantages that solve some major pain points for developers and businesses.
Let's start with maybe the biggest time saver, reusability. Yeah, reusability is huge. It's about maximizing your investment, right? If you build a really complex, thoroughly tested component, let's say a sophisticated search bar, You don't want to build it again for the next three apps your company launches.
It's just plug it in. Exactly. You integrate it seamlessly. That dramatically cuts development costs and, just as importantly, speeds up your time to market. And that connects directly to the next big one, scalability, essential for anything high traffic. It gives you really granular control over resources. So if your app suddenly gets a massive traffic surge, maybe a flash sale kicks off, but you don't have to scale up the entire system. You identify which specific components are under stress.
Like the shopping cart.
Right, maybe the shopping cart or the checkout process. And you just spin up more instances of only those components. You get responsiveness exactly where you need it, instantly.
Okay, now let's talk stability and maintenance. Mm-hmm. I mean, if components are totally independent, doesn't that make it harder sometimes to track down a bug that might cross between two of them compared to just looking inside one big monolith? Where did the sources land on debugging and maintainability?
That's a really fair question, and it comes up a lot. But the sources generally argue the opposite. Because components are self-contained and only talk via those defined interfaces, making changes or fixing bugs within one component is actually less risky.
Okay.
You update one piece, and you're far less likely to break something totally unrelated somewhere else. And that isolation, that's what drives better modularity, which in turn is what lets multiple teams work in parallel on different components without constantly tripping over each other.
And that parallel work leads into better testability, right? Higher quality before things even get put together.
Absolutely. You test each component on its own unit testing before it even gets close to the larger system. It's that whole shift left idea in testing. Catch problems early at the component level, and you significantly boost the quality of the final assembled software.
So the sum of all these parts, reusability, scalability, maintainability, modularity, testability, is this overall flexibility?
Precisely. CBA just makes the whole system much more adaptable. Need to add a new feature? Upgrade some underlying tech, integrate with a new third-party service. It's generally much simpler than trying to weave that change through a tightly coupled monolithic code base.
Okay, to make this a bit more concrete, what do these components actually look like in the real world?
Yeah.
They're not always just invisible code running somewhere, are they?
No, not at all. You see them all the time. Think about themes in web applications. An e-commerce site might have a theme component that lets them quickly switch the entire look and feel for, say, a holiday promotion.
While the underlying shopping logic stays exactly the same.
Exactly. Or think about widgets, those little standalone UI bits, like a weather display or a stock ticker you can drop onto a page. And critically, connectors. These are components designed specifically for communication, like the piece that links your internal CRM system to an external email marketing service.
And then there are plugins, which we see everywhere. Content management systems are full of them.
Right. Plugins expand the core app's functionality without bloating the main system. You might have a plugin for SEO optimization or one that adds social media sharing buttons.
So what makes a component, well, a good component? What are the key design principles? You mentioned interfaces, but what else?
Well, there are a few core characteristics. First up is encapsulation.
Meaning hiding the internal details.
Exactly. Hiding the inner workings. So a payment processing component, for instance, it bundles up all the necessary secure code and logic inside itself. A developer using it doesn't need to know the intricate details of how it processes the credit card.
They just need to know how to call it, what information to send it, and what response to expect.
Precisely. They interact with its simple external interface. It really simplifies the developer experience.
Okay, and that clarity then enables composability, right? The mixing and matching.
Yes, the Lego block idea again.
Yeah.
You can build, say, a custom dashboard by combining a separate chart component with a data table component and maybe a filtering component. Mix and match to create the application you need.
And for that mixing to work, you need interoperability.
Vital. This is like the universal remote idea. Components need to be able to talk to each other and work together smoothly, even if they were built using totally different programming languages or frameworks underneath.
And the ultimate goal of all this, independence.
That's the aim. An update to one component ideally shouldn't force a change or even a redeployment of any other component. If you improve the logic for your social media sharing feature, the user authentication module should just keep running, completely untouched. That's what fosters real agility.
This all sounds fantastic in theory, but for listeners thinking, okay, how do we actually do this? We need to walk through that implementation roadmap. It's not just magic. No, definitely not magic. It requires a really structured approach. Step one is foundational. Define system requirements. Really analyze the functional needs, the non-functional ones like performance and scalability, security standards, all of it. Creating user stories helps here. Okay, requirements first. Then step two, identify the components. How do you figure out where to draw the lines between these pieces? The sources mentioned using things like domain-driven design, DDD. Can you unpack that briefly?
Yeah, DDD is really key here. It basically means you structure your components based on the actual business domains, like an inventory domain, a shipping domain, a user profile domain. This helps ensure each component aligns logically with a specific business capability, making the boundaries much clearer and more meaningful. Got it. So business logic drives the structure. Step three is then setting up how they talk. Design component interfaces. This is where you nail down that loose coupling. You define very clear APIs, the methods they expose, the inputs they expect, the outputs they produce. And crucially, you specify the data formats, usually standard ones like JSON or maybe XML, so components built by different teams, maybe even using different tech, can still reliably exchange information. Right. Interfaces defined, then we get to the actual building. Step four, develop and test. Right. You code the components using whatever frameworks make sense, React, Vue.js for front end, maybe Java or Python for back end, but critically, you immediately implement unit tests. Using standard tools like Just for JavaScript or Jonit for Java helps confirm that each little piece of code works correctly in isolation.
Testing from the very beginning.
Absolutely. Ensures quality right from the start.
Yeah. Okay.
Components built and unit tested. Step five, integrate components, bringing them together. Yeah, this is where you deploy them, usually to a staging environment first, to make sure they actually communicate correctly. This step relies heavily on CI/CD pipelines, continuous integration, and continuous deployment to automate the build, test, and deployment process. And once integrated, you run end-to-end tests to validate the whole system works as expected, and it doesn't stop at deployment. Step six, monitor and maintain. No. It's ongoing. You need to track the health and performance constantly. That means using logging and monitoring tools. Think Prometheus for metrics or the ELK stack, Elasticsearch Logstash Kibana for logs to see what's happening, catch errors, address bugs, and have a continuous feedback loop for security updates and future enhancements.
It's a disciplined process, and it really stands in stark contrast to the, let's call it the old way, the monolithic architecture, that single giant code base holding everything. The differences really highlight why CBA is gaining traction.
They really do. Just look at structure and complexity. Monolithic apps, as they grow bigger and older, they notoriously risk becoming incredibly complex, tangled messes that spaghetti code developers dread. CBA forces modularity, which helps manage that complexity through clear boundaries.
And deployment. The deployment pain with monoliths is legendary.
Oh, yeah. With a monolith, even a tiny change often means you have to redeploy the entire application. That leads to these long, risky deployment windows. With CBA, because components can often be deployed independently, you get faster, much less disruptive updates and feature releases.
And that core idea driving CBA reusability.
Very limited in monoliths because everything's so tightly coupled. In CBA, components are often designed with reuse in mind, ideally across multiple projects, which really boosts development efficiency.
How does this impact team collaboration?
Monolithic development can be tricky. Tight dependencies mean changes by one team can easily break something another team is working on. CBA, with its clear boundaries, actually promotes specialization. Different teams can own different components and work more independently, more simultaneously, without causing as many conflicts.
It makes sense why the big players have jumped on this. The sources mentioned PayPal, using their own internal tool, Component Explorer, to standardize components across all their different products.
Yeah, ensuring that consistent user experience is huge for them. And Walmart did something similar with their Electrode Explorer. Managing a massive number of components across all their digital platforms, it ensures UI uniformity, cuts down on duplicated effort, and lets them launch new features much faster.
And it's not just e-commerce.
Yeah.
Spotify, Uber, they rely heavily on CBA too.
Absolutely. Spotify uses it to standardize development, particularly on the front end, allowing for quicker feature iterations. And Uber uses it to manage the immense complexity of having separate apps for riders and drivers, plus all the back-end services, ensuring consistency globally.
Okay, but we need to pause here. It sounds great, but the sources were clear. CBA isn't a silver bullet. When should an organization maybe not jump straight into CBA? There are downsides. Right? That critical perspective is really important. It's not the answer for every single problem. The first drawback often cited is actually the flip side of modularity, increased complexity at the system level.
Meaning managing all the pieces.
Exactly. While each component might be simple internally, managing potentially dozens or hundreds of them, understanding their intricate communication paths, their interdependencies that can significantly complicate the overall system design and require a lot more careful orchestration than managing a single code base.
And that complexity leads to potential integration and dependency challenges, right? Yes. If different teams build components using different technologies or maybe rely on different versions of the same library, you can run into real headaches, compatibility issues, version conflicts when you try to make them all work together smoothly. It requires discipline.
Okay, what else? Security came up.
Yeah, security vulnerabilities. This is a big one. Each component brings its own set of dependencies, third-party libraries, frameworks. Keeping track of the security status of every single one of those dependencies across all components is a massive challenge. An outdated library in just one component could potentially expose the entire application.
That sounds like a significant risk. And finally, performance overhead.
Mm-hmm. Communication between components, especially if they're deployed separately across a network, involves, well, network calls.
Yeah.
That introduces latency. It might be small, but in scenarios that need extremely high-speed, real-time processing, that overhead from components talking to each other can make CBA potentially slower than a highly optimized, tightly compiled monolith.
So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, the listener? Component-based architecture, despite the challenges, really does seem like a necessary path forward for most modern organizations that want to prioritize innovation, speed, and quality.
It provides that architectural foundation needed to stay competitive when the digital landscape changes so fast. It's fundamentally about embracing independence and modularity.
And maybe one final distinction to clarify things, because it comes up in the research. CBA often gets confused with object-oriented architecture, OOA. Which came first? How are they different?
It's a good point. OOA, you know, also focuses on encapsulation, creating objects that bundle data and behavior together. But the primary focus of OOA is structuring things within a single application. It's about internal code organization.
Okay, so OOA is internal structure. And CBA?
CBA takes that modular idea and elevates it to the system level. It really emphasizes creating these truly independent, deployable units components that are designed for reuse across different systems and projects. It's aiming for a much higher level of modularity and interoperability. That's the key difference then. It's the provocative thought to leave you with. Are you just building reusable parts for one specific structure, like OOA often focuses on? Or are you building truly independent, interoperable parts ready to be composed and deployed across an entire ecosystem of systems? That's the heart of CBA. Well said.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into architectural mastery. We'll see you next time.